Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I'm so incredibly glad that you are here today. And we're going to pick up with Sigmund Van Dam, which we started an interview with yesterday. What an incredible story of success of growing a business to the point of acquisition and then joining that company and continuing on with that company. And a great story, too, of the fact that he and his wife did this together. Is a pretty neat story. But we're going to pick up right where we left off. If you didn't hear yesterday's interview, I'd invite you to go out there and tune in to yesterday's interview. You can find it on Apple iTunes or at thedailydriveshow.com. But we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, and here we go. So what are you now? You were telling me before, you're the...
Membership software evangelist. So they purchased Nimble User, the manufacturer Nimble EMS. They also purchased three of the biggest association management, probably the biggest association management software companies in the world. So they purchased Abilla, which has an association management software called NetForm Enterprise, which is used by some absolutely astronomically large associations. They bought Aptify, which also operates at the enterprise, and they power some huge organizations all across the world. And then they purchased Your Membership, which is a small staff. So that's meant for associations that are probably like in the, you know, $2 million and less of revenue. So nobody we would compete with, but they have, believe it or not, they have like 3,000. Would have been perfect. Would have been perfect. And so their, you know, Your Membership, while they deal on the small side, they had 3,000 customers, and they're arguably the largest association management software company in the world. So now my role is really I represent all of these organizations. I go to trade shows. I do public speaking, thought leadership.
Podcasts.
Don't do podcasts yet. That would be a great idea.
Well, no, I mean, you're being interviewed on one, basically.
Right. Show. Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then I also have, you know, a strategic role here where, you know, I give input into, you know, what I think some of the things that associations are looking to in the future. So, for example, you know, we've been doing a lot of work around artificial intelligence, predictive analytics, things like that within associations. And you know, I bring some technical background and some, you know, industry knowledge to help, you know, guide us and hopefully what is the right direction on that.
Well, that's pretty doggone cool. All right, man, I'm gonna pivot on you personally. I think we got a picture of the company and where you are now and a bit of the journey. But so I want you to think a little bit back, you know, when pre-acquisition as an entrepreneur, in one word, characterize what your life was like as an entrepreneur.
Chaos.
Chaos. I love it. I think you already alluded to it, but married or single?
Married. Very happily.
Good. Good for you, man.
I got married in 2000, so it makes it really easy to calculate.
Oh, lucky you. 19 years.
19 years.
Will be 19 years. There you go. Congratulations. That's a little bit of a run.
So at the time that I met my wife, Dawn. She worked at a professional trade association. She actually worked at the American Heart Association. And she worked in systems, and, you know, she's doing very, very well, extremely well, actually. And I was trying to hire my first employee. I tried to hire one. It didn't really work out so well. And right before we were getting married, like literally like 2 months beforehand, I was like, man, I need someone I can trust. I need somebody smart. I need a hard worker. And then I looked over, and I'm like, you know, Dawn, what do you think about that? She's like, no.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, I don't want to get divorced, you know, 1 year into, you know, this whole adventure here. And I was like, well, what if we laid down some ground rules? So we laid down a bunch of ground rules, you know, everything from like, okay, if it's, you know, if it's software development, you know, I'm kind of that person. If it's financial, she's got a degree in mathematical economics. It was clearly your reign, and, you know, everything. Never had to use it.
That's awesome.
It's been perfect. And she, you know, she was kind of what was missing. I'm the kind of guy, like, if you took everything that I own, just kind of tossed me out on the street, I'd probably be able to get a million-dollar business going in a couple of years. You know, but I'm not the guy to go from like a $2 million business to say a $10 or $15 million business. And Dawn is really that person. You know, she's got tremendous organizational experience and abilities. So it worked out really, really well to get us to where we wanted to go.
That's awesome. So dinner and a movie out or dinner at home and Netflix?
We got three kids, so not many movies out.
Netflix it is. What are the kids' ages?
My son's 16, and I've got two daughters, 13 and 11.
Oh, you're in the prime fun of it all, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I've got a boy and a girl. I should say a man and a woman now. 27 and 24 now.
Wow.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Not a big science fiction guy, but I am going to say Star Trek in case of this one guy that I work very close to is a huge Star Trek fan. So I end up talking a lot of Star Trek with him. He's actually gone on Star Trek cruises, so he's definitely way out there compared to me. But
I gotcha.
I'll go with Star Trek.
You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be?
Green.
Green. Why green?
I like to go. You know, I like to get to it. And, you know, actually one of the reasons we've actually made a couple hires here of new people. We've got some people here that I think if you could say one thing about the people from Nimble User and the people here at Community Brands in this Nimble division is like we like to get to it. We like to get going. You know, a bias for action. Like you can't stand. I'd rather make a mistake and do something and make a mistake than not do anything. I can't not do anything.
I love that. I love what you just said. I'd rather do something and make a mistake than not do anything. That's that. Delayed perfection or continual improvement. I'll take continual improvement. Let's do something and keep moving. Then hold it off for perfection.
Yeah. We have a phrase here, you know, what's the difference between excellent and perfection? And it's excellence is achievable. And, you know,
it's true.
You know, it was Steve Jobs that said, you know, real artists ship. At some point you gotta get it done and get it out there. And we were always, I think one thing I can say about Nimble User is we were very tolerant of failure. And because we realized that, you know, if you do not fail, you're certainly not pushing the envelope, let's put it that way, but you'll never learn. So, for example, we built Nimble AMS on the Salesforce platform, and that decision is a critical success factor of that package. Now, before that, we wrote a product called Metropolis, which was going to be basically sort of like a communities package for professional trade associations. And what we did to do that was, have you ever heard of Ruby on Rails? It's like a
computer
architecture system. Yeah, we ended up writing basically .NET on Rails. And we spent 3 or 4 years developing our own platform unsuccessfully. And I lost more money than I ever lost. It was just an insane loss. But that failure really embedded in me that if we're ever going to build anything, we're going to build it on an enterprise platform that somebody else is building the platform. So, you know, failure brings, you think about, you know, the Apple Newton, right? Huge failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
absolutely.
The next round was the iPhone. So it's like you kind of have to embrace that. And, you know, I actually have new staff here. We have something called Nimble U, which we go through that. And I tell everybody on there, I'm like, look, we're hoping you're going to fail here. You know, you're going to have to push your envelope. You're not going to outdo me on failure. I've cost this company more money along the route, you know. But you're going to have to be tolerant of that, because we are not a company that is sitting on the sidelines. We're pushing forward. And when you push forward, you know, it's like they say, tell the pioneers, they got the arrows in their back, right? You got to, you're going to take some lumps along the way to get to the top.
There's an old, this is really old quote. I need to look it up. It's like 1700s. It was a scientist who said the definition of an expert is the man who has made the most mistakes, or not the most, all the mistakes that one can make in a narrow field. That's how you become
an expert then.
Yeah. You have to become, you have to make mistakes, because how do you know they're wrong unless you do it?
Oh yeah.
And that's when you become an expert. The expert's the guy that knows all the right answers, but that comes from making all the wrong ones. I agree. I like the other's another phrase, fail forward.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Fail forward.
And fail fast. You know what, you know, the agile methodologies, you know, we use them in software development, but those are very applicable to your life. You know, do things in sprints, try it. If it doesn't work, you know, iterate,
get out. Yeah. Do something different. What are your hobbies with kids? I should probably say, what were your hobbies, but they probably evolved.
So I'm very much in, ice hockey. So I play a lot of ice hockey. I coach ice hockey. I love all aspects of ice hockey. I'm also into the outdoors, so do a lot of ATVing, a lot of camping, hiking. I'd say those are the two big ones. That and fitness in general.
Ice hockey. Who's your NHL team?
Sabres. Buffalo Sabres.
Sabres.
Oh, it's a hard life. It's a cross that I bear.
Hey, so I am a fan. I'm not a huge ice hockey fan. I'm by default through family relationship a Blackhawks fan, but I live in Florida, so come on, give me a little bit
of a break. That's a good team to
fit. We don't have a lot of ice hockey here. I get the Orlando Solar Bears, but that's not an NHL, right? Tampa Bay, NFL level, so on a football level, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so I understand what you just said there. That's a Cormac.
I'm a Bills fan, right? So we had a little rivalry going there for a while.
We do. I've got a great Bills fan in my office, and his office is coated with paraphernalia. And I'm going to give you the whole, you know, how do you spell Bills? B-I-L-L-L-L. Never mind.
I can't defend that. I know it's true, but I still am.
Yeah, me too. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. So my thing is, I will tell people now, because so you can borrow this from me if you like it. I have decided that when I die, I want the Miami Dolphins to be my pallbearers. That's so they can let me down one more time. That's a diehard fan, man. It doesn't matter. I'm just staying
with
them.
Maybe they can get there one more time. You never know.
One more time. You never know. And that's what it's all about, right? The optimist. So what makes you happy?
I got to tell you, I got to have adrenaline in my life. Like, that's what I love about sports. I like, I love going fast on things. And then I would definitely say, like, you know, with the kids, obviously, you know, stressful and all, but, you know, my son won his high school hockey championship, on Monday or Tuesday night. And, you know, just, that was just an amazing thing to watch him develop over the years. And, my daughter plays as well, and just, you know, watching them play, or my youngest daughter's a figure skater, and I don't even really like figure skating, but I love watching her, you know, and it's, just watching the kids and spending time with them, I think is probably the thing that makes me happiest.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Back into the business stuff. If you could travel back in time, we'll go all the way back to 1992, the day you started your company, and you could have 15 minutes, just 15 minutes with your former self, what would you tell yourself?
I think one of the hardest lessons that I learned was ask for money before you need it. Like, you know, interestingly enough, you know, when we were doing great, you know, on balance sheet wise, people always try to give us money. You know, like, it was real easy. Like, oh, yeah, we'll loan you this or that or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but we're like, we don't need it. You know, I actually never used my credit line ever. And I had refused to use my credit line. And actually, got our advisory board's like, why don't you use your credit line? I'm like, I'm not going into that. And he goes, you got to be in. He goes, we're in that every week. You got to be in it. You got to use it, you know. And then, you know, when we started to have, you know, doing this growth capital thing and we're like, you know, getting extended, it's like, you know, we weren't really looking for that much. And it was harder than I thought.
Right.
And we had to, you know, we had to end up giving up 100% ownership too to make that happen. So I think like going back and just saying, hey, listen, you know, do that. And the other thing that I think if I was to say like to myself was my entire life was the business for better or for worse. And we never really took any money out and we never really, you know, everything was constantly plowed back in. And I remember somebody along the way, like some financial advisor was like, you know, Sig, you gotta take money out of here on a regular basis and, you know, have it for yourself or for the, you know, the future. And we never really did that. You know, it was a constant reinvestment and it was such a, like the, it was 25 years, right? You know, but it was like a run and gun. Like it went by in a heartbeat. It was just like we were constantly like that chaos. It was just like go 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 go. You know that it was one of those things like whatever, you know, and never did it. And so you know it could have gone hard the other way. Let's put it that way. We could have gone out of business too, and then I would have nothing. But it, you know, it would have been nice to have more of a financial cushion at the time. Like I think that's the things that I would go back and tell myself, spend more on sales and marketing up front. Hire a really good salesperson. There's a sales consultant that we hired out here. The guy's awesome. His name's Joe Marone. He writes books on it and stuff. But his phrase is, nothing gets done until something gets sold.
That's true.
And there's no truer words. And our thought, you know, as an engineer, and my wife's, you know, kind of an engineer herself, and you know, we come with the people here. We're basically engineering mindset. You know, we're always of the, hey, we're just going to build the best damn thing we possibly can. And all the sales are just going to miraculously happen. And that kind of sort of worked, but it would have been a lot more effective. You know, we actually have a competitor, that's also built on a similar platform and they're all sales and limited engineering. And, you know, in many ways they had, done just as good as us, without all the expense of the engineering. So somewhere in there is a happy medium.
You know, they say there are three types of CEOs. There's probably more than that, but there's a sales, there's operations, and there's finance-based CEOs. They come from that direction, and in the engineering and comes from that, I would say, that operations piece of how the product's going to function and work, right? And that's okay. I think we all bring our own gifts to the table. Just a couple last questions because I'm running out of time, and I really do appreciate you taking so much time with me.
It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, a couple questions I want to get in though. Excluding yours, and that means you know yours is a division now of the bigger organization. But excluding yours, what company or business do you admire the most?
Without a doubt, Salesforce.
Salesforce.
Like what they have done. So just to put this in perspective, like I'm not exactly sure what the total revenue is of that company, but I think it's around $40 billion. That's a younger company than mine. Maybe by half. You know, so what Mark Benioff has done, and part of it is, okay, there's revenue and he's hired all these employees. But one of the things that, like, I always admired about Mark Benioff, and it's, you know, core to who he is when he started Salesforce, mind you, this is, you know, the poster child of enterprise cloud computing in the world. He was in a room, you know, a two-bedroom apartment, and he said, and he wrote it down, and he formalized it. He called it his 1-1-1 plan. He said, I'm going to give away 1% of my money, 1% of my time, and 1% of my product. From now and forever to make this world a better place. And it meant nothing at the time because, let's face it, he had no product, he broke, and he didn't really have any consulting. But now they're literally changing the world. You know, they've given gifts like $66 million to San Francisco Children's Hospital. That 1% of revenue alone fastest change in the world. And he had the brains. He had the brains and the foresight to say, you know what? Even Salesforce is this billion-dollar operation. You can only do so much. So he then rolled out, basically where other companies could pledge to get in on this as well. Nimble User did that. So when we were a Nimble User, we took that pledge and we did that. And, you know, I love the thought that, I mean, you hear so many things about, you know, you open the paper, people talking about big business screwing people, or, you know, just people have sometimes a bad connotation of business, but business can do a lot of good.
Oh,
I
yeah.
feel Nimble Users that way. I feel Community Brands that way, and I feel very strong that Salesforce is that way. And it's kind of been a guiding light, I think, to me, you know, for a value-based organization of what can be done. And the other one is Zappos, but Salesforce is far and away number one for me.
That is a excellent observation, and I wasn't familiar with the 1-1-1 plan, and I appreciate you introducing that to me because that's really cool. The penultimate question, the next to the last, right? If you were conducting this interview, what would you ask you? What sage piece of advice have you got that I haven't uncovered yet?
It's very important to have a values-based organization. So, like, when we were a Nimble User, we always had, like, an idea of, you know, what was our values. You know, so our values, you know, empower the customer was one of them, let's say. But, you know, we would talk about it, right? Like, oh, there's seven of us. We can pretty much all sort of agree on this is what we do here. But then I read Tony Heiss's book. He's the CEO of Zappos about, you know, it was called Delivering Happiness. And he talked about how they do this in Zappos on values. And I actually went down to Vegas and I toured their place. And then you could pay a little extra to meet with their executive team. And what really came out of that was you need to document the values, you know, and then you need to base the entire organization on those values. So, for example, we had six core values at Nimble User. Your performance appraisal, one of our core values is enjoy the ride, you know. Make sure you're in front at work because it shows through on the work that you're going to do and everything else. So our performance our performance thing was like, how well does Sig Van Dam meet the core value of enjoy the ride? If there was a decision to be made and it did not meet one of those values or it contradicted one of those values, that decision was not going to go that way. And so having a value-based organization, I just think is incredibly valuable. And actually, you know, Community Brands has slightly different values. I like all of them, but they're different than what we had at Nimble User. But I met with, like I said, this person at Nimble U this morning, and I was like, you know, the great thing about having them documented and really understanding is that if you see something that doesn't match that, you know, then you can bring it up.
Speak up.
Hey, what? Yeah, speak up. So actually what I love is Community Brands has seven values. The last one is nimble. We're nimble, which is like my favorite value, obviously. But, you know, I was like, here's the deal. Like if it says we cut through red tape and these things. I go, the beauty of this is like, if I see my boss or I see someone here and I'm like, why are we doing this dumb thing? And we don't have that written down. I don't really have much to stand on. But right. If I say, hey, you know, look at this. This is our core value, and this doesn't appear to match within this. And there might be valid reasons that I'm not aware of or whatever, but it starts the conversation to make sure we're headed in the direction that we're supposed to be going in. And we're all rolling in that direction. You know, Community Brands is a 2,000-person company. We better have those things, you know, people better, like, really look at those values and follow those values. And it can't be from the top down. It's got to be people like me, people, you know, that you're starting there that are like, man, I'm going to hear to these. I'm going to hold other people accountable to them. So that, to me, that was something we got in a little late. Like we only codified them probably like 15 years into the business, you know? So we had 15 years just kind of muddling our way through and kind of knowing what it's all about. But that book, Delivering Happiness, is a great book. If you get a chance, you can tour Zappos for free. Pay the extra money and you know, have them walk, you know, you'll meet with their HR person. They'll talk about how they introduce values. And, it's just a really, that was very empowering, I think, for our team.
Interesting. That's really cool. And actually, you nailed on one of the questions I ask about books, and we're running out of time, so I didn't get to that, but you kind of already led into that. So,
well, I'll give you my favorite book.
Okay.
It's Rework.
Rework.
Have you ever heard of 37 Signals? You ever use like Basecamp?
Mm-hmm. And
so 37 Signals is owned by a guy named Jason Fried. He writes sometimes for Fortune magazine and stuff like that. But basically, they exemplify, what would be called simple software. In other words, like there's no manual for Basecamp. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's an incredibly powerful piece of software, but it's written well enough that you don't have to have a manual or anything like that to get it to work. And they, if you read that book Rework, you might not agree with everything in there. But you'll think differently when you're done.
Interesting. Rework.
The other big one too that I think is good is Four Disciplines of Execution.
You are just filled with them, see? All right, the final question. We get done in this interview, and one of our listeners wants to reach out and talk to you. How do they do that, man? How do they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
You can email me at SIGV, S-I-G-V, at Van Damme, V-A-N-D-A-M as in Michael, M as in Michael, E as in Echo.com.
All right.
Or you can actually go to VanDamme.com. I've been in it long enough that I got that domain.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I really do... really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know that this was a part of your evangelism role these days. Still, I understand what it's like, and I do appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's been great. I really enjoy talking with you.
Man, that was a fantastic interview with Sigmund Van Damme, and I hope that you got a lot from it. I know that I did. And I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your week and that you've gotten your drive from the Daily Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, executive producer Jake Parrick, web guru Taj Royer, and the audio man with the plan, Shoddy. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.